in 1987. My name is Steve Frangos. This is for the Bureau of Florida Folk Life, and I'm here in Arcadia with George Lane, and we're just going to shoot the breeze. 16-millimeter film?
16-millimeter. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it is so good, and I want to suggest to you that you shoot 16-millimeter black and white. Why? Okay, when you're out, do you shoot some pictures too?
Yeah, I mean, I snap.
When you shooting? Black and white or color?
Color slides.
You know, you should be shooting black and white.
I know, but the Bureau wants color. They want to see what
But why should you be shooting black and white?
Preserve the emulsions or there's
because,
no.
Yeah, 50 years maximum life on color.
Yeah, sure.
And
yeah.
We now know that black and white, our technology is far beyond that. You can take your color negatives and make black and white prints off them.
Yeah, sure.
And if you ever want any prints to last, make sure they're double washed. See, what I've been doing, I've been writing on Florida now since I was in the seventh grade. And I've written and interviewed tons of people, and as you can tell around you, yeah. I've saved and collected, and I've been very lucky, very blessed, because I have made thousands of contacts. But see, I've kept my contacts alive. I've got book after book, book after book after book after book after book of cards, and you know. Yeah. There are two very, very below the cabinet over there, very large Rolodexes. Mm-hmm. And I now do a computer-generated newsletter from time to time telling them what I'm doing and sort of keeping
in contact.
Keeping in touch. But also I've bound all my many, many, many stories that I've written, and I've got several volumes. Mm-hmm. And what I've done is these different towns and old pharmacies and people. But what I've done is I have Xeroxed. Now watch this. I have Xeroxed the newsprint on 25% rag paper.
Mm-hmm.
What does this tell you?
It's going to be preserved.
It's going to stay for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And a lot of my stuff that I've written about now is already gone or torn down or people are dead or so forth. So I'm leaving behind a really good
record of
my short time in Southwest Florida. You know, of course, the next main area of interest historically in Florida is the boom, because that was about 50 years ago, the 1920s, 1930s. And when I was in the 7th grade back in Fort Myers in the late 50s, 7th grade in school, my parents bought me an Olympia typewriter, a little old portable, little German portable. I started collecting then. When you start thinking about it, a lot of the boom timers were still in business and all. And it wasn't that far back then. When you start talking 1960, the boom had only been 25, 30 years before.
So it was within living memory.
Yeah. You know the expression that you can't see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that has been, this area has been really guilty of that. You know, a prophet is not known in his own land, and often people that live in a beautiful place don't always realize it. For instance, you know, like we live here on the beautiful Peace River Valley, and very few people in this town have been on the state canoe trail here, which is one of the state's busiest and one of the prettiest. And yet we have an outfitter, two private outfitters here, that put over 40,000 people on the river every year, most of them not from Arcadia. We have one of the biggest bluegrass festivals in the south part of the state in twice a year here, once in the spring and once in the fall, and very few local people go to it.
Yeah,
I guess
it's always the way.
Well, it's like people drive from Sarasota and Fort Myers and Bradenton and Tampa to eat at the old DeSoto Hotel restaurant, the DeSoto restaurant, and Eileen Wheeler's Goody Cafe, which has been in business here for more than 50 years, and both of these businesses are profiled in that tabloid that I had written earlier and gave to you, because they come here to taste this old-fashioned southern food, you know, with the vegetable plates and all this kind of stuff, even though some of it has been Yankee-ized, because like at a soda restaurant, they put sugar in a cornbread. But basically, they come to us, and here we just take it for granted. Our courthouse, which is one of the oldest in Southwest Florida, there, if it hadn't been for a lot of people who had moved here and pressured the county from outside during the bicentennial, they might have remodeled it. What they did was they restored the 1912 building.
And they renovated it.
Okay. But Arcadia is a town where the Episcopal Church, which was built in the 1930s, has never been locked. There's not a key to it.
The St. Edmunds?
It's always unlocked.
Huh.
The courthouse is never locked.
Yeah, I know.
We have two drugstores that are more than 50 years old. Both of them are profiled in that tabloid that I gave you.
Yeah.
They've been in business for more than 60 years. Both of them still have soda fountains, and both of them still deliver to the home. Arcadia has been described as being 50 miles and 25 to 50 years from the coast. It's where folks still say take time to say howdy.
Yeah.
Where folks, we have 60% church attendance. It's still dry on Sunday. You can't buy, beer or alcohol on Sunday. It's a microcosm. It is a pocket of isolated Floridiana.
Yeah.
It and places like Wauchula in Hardy County, Moorhaven in Glades County, LaBelle in Hendry County, Alva in Lee County, Matlache, which is on a little pine island between Cape Coral and Pine Island.
Mm-hmm. What is there?
Are all isolated pockets of resistance to what the northerners term as real Florida, and what is so far from real Florida that it's pitiful. It's plastic. It's artificial. Towns like Cape Coral, listen to me on this, towns like Cape Coral were not in existence when my family came to Florida in 1954. There was no Port Charlotte. That was A.C. Frizzell's cow pasture. 60,000 acres of it, and now they had planted, instead of crops there, they had planted more than 40,000 northerners.
Yeah.
Port Charlotte is a city of the newlywed or newly dead. The birth-death ratio is 3-1. The death-birth ratio, the average age is 57 years of age. So these places have no roots. They have no heritage. They brought their heritage with them. But on the other hand, here's the positive thing about this immigration, is a lot of times they're more interested in our history and heritage.
Yeah.
I have slide programs on history of the county up here. Mm-hmm. I have slide programs on Pine Level that I'm more than happy to give. I do bus tours for free on the county, for the AARP and other things like that. And they're really good tours because I take them back and I show them the cemeteries and I show them the sites and I tell them how the niceties and also the adversities that people faced. You know who's more interested in that? Northerner.
In the north.
Or an interesting fact that we've been, according to the Division of Tourism, now we think about Northerners and immigration, but still, even today, the southern states, there's three southern states that are still among the top seven immigration sources for Florida. So it's either those transplanted southerners or northerners who have shown more interest, and that's where the money and funding for programs like yours is going to come from. But I would like to see that the Division of Archives, History and Records Management would get into the publication business for profit and start funding its own projects instead of every single person that's in the field go out griping and complaining they don't have enough money. I mean, people are going to be a lot more responsive. They want tapes of authentic tapes of folk music. They want to listen to tapes of old timers reminiscing. They want books about slick books about Floridiana. And if they'll go into a bookstore and buy a bestseller and spend $18 for it, they'll spend $25 on a well done book from the Division of Archives, History and Records Management that's either published at the University of Miami, Florida State, or the University of Florida. We better preserve what we got because it's going faster than hush puppies in a fish fry.
Yeah, I know.
When I came to Florida 30 years ago, I came from I was an inquisitive lad, and my daddy took me all over the places. I went out and saw the mullet netters, and I went and met the old commercial fishermen, and I went out and met the old cowboys that still used a McClellan saddle and a cracker. I went out because of my father's influence on me, and I went out and I learned a lot about the customs and traditions. This state barely had a couple million people then. Yeah. And I have seen it, so I am on the ground floor. I have been collecting information ever since. And I have, hundreds of books and notebooks, and I've got, four or five file cabinets full of material.
You have, and I'm not saying this in any facetious manner, but it's a compliment. You have a very organized office. Now that may seem superficial, but believe me, I've been to people who went to Oxford and Cambridge and anything you want to say about the Harvard, Yale, best schools in the world, you know, and their whole place is a mess. They can't retrieve the information that they know.
Everything I've got here is indexed.
Yeah. So, and I'm saying, George, that is not is that that is not commendable. I'm not saying that's not commendable. You know what I'm trying to say? That is phenomenal. You know what I'm trying to say?
I've heard a lot of people say the same, but I mean that comes from my daddy, and plus the fact that I've been a writer and I needed to access the material.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've got a better Florida collection than many libraries.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But I've also been lucky and blessed, I guess, through my life, is that because of my dad's influence on me and giving me my gift for gab, is that I speak Southern and I am a Southerner. And after a while, most of the old Quakers feel at home with me and they talk to me.
Yeah.
And after a while, I can take a bolder step and. You don't mind if I put this on tape, do you?
No, sir.
I've gone a little further, and I'll ask them, well, you don't mind if we take this for television, do you?
Yeah.
And once they feel comfortable, because I've learned the best way to go out and gather information from Florida, be it from a black community or Cuban immigrants from the 1890s, a community of Cuban immigrants or the Greek settlement at Tarpon Springs or while it's the Minorcans or you name it, is to first read about their... know about them. They know whether you know anything about them or not when you open your mouth.
Yeah.
Ask intelligent questions. Mm-hmm. Understand that there is a lot of resentment from anybody that's lived in the state for more than 30 years about, I mean, a lot of the immigration. I mean, just this crazy avalanche of condominiums and buy, and I mean, look, I buy from Walmart and Kmart too. I mean, I'm not knocking.
Yeah, I understand.
There are some good things that come with it. When you go and you talk to the bridge tender, who is passing, there won't be any bridge tenders probably by the year 2000. When you talk to the mullet fisherman who learned his mullet fisherman back when people tried to call Lisa so they could sell them up north.
Yeah.
When you talk to the oysterman who has been collecting oysters like his father and his father before him, and when you talk to the cattle, the cow hunter, or you talk to the grower, you are familiar with what he has done, and then as far as I'm concerned, you can get a lot of valuable information and material. I think Linda, that's the reason why Linda's been successful there, is that she carries her camera with her, and they photograph the material right on the spot.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a portable Xerox machine or for anything's got in, I mean, to document it. And it amazes me that you're out here in the field gathering material and you don't have a video camera.
No, they didn't. Our Folklife Festival's coming up, and they... But the thing is, they don't have the resources, or when they do have they've got a camera and stuff up there, but they're using it on something else. We're doing about, everybody's up there, it's got about three or four things happening at the same time. And I'm someone they brought in to, this is enjoyable work for those people, but they're too busy to do it. And, well, the thing is that, as you were saying before, it's the equipment that you need, and you have experienced the need of through your collection of these kind of materials, is not, that kind of knowledge isn't available to people who issue the funds, you know what I'm trying to say, in a polite way?
I'll put on the record right here, as having been a journalist, you know, worked with the Miami Herald and UPI and the St. Petersburg Times, that that your festival, quote, festival over there, amongst the historical societies and other groups, is more considered as a, well, I don't know what the exact word, but it's humorous, considered amongst a lot of the old crackers and so forth, because they say it's not representative of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
what would be more representative, George? What might be indicative of?
Well, I think the removal of a lot of kids from the 1960s who are imitating whatever instead of people that have really done it and it's been handed down. I think you folks need to travel up to Westville in Georgia, and you need to go see particularly the work. I have a lot of friends at Tifton at Agorama, where they really live the lifestyle, and where these people that, well, I think that in a folk festival that you ought to have some mullet netters, and you ought to have some freshwater cat fishermen from Lake Okeechobee, and you ought to have people that are.
Well, see, now I don't know, but it seems to me from looking at this sort of stuff here that that's what they've been aiming at. See, now they get the people who make those things from the past. You know, I mean, people who've done these kind of things. It's like narratives from the fishing industry. Here's net making. Here's Vietnamese dancing, which is not native, but you know. Now they do the demonstrations by people who've done this in the past. Now, see, the other thing is they did, you know, a series of, you know, 60-minute programs for the radio about Florida. Here's about needlework found in the area.
Well, then they would do those 60-minute programs are interesting. You know, anybody with insomnia ought to tune in.
Here's stuff on Big Bend, again.
Hear what I said?
Yeah, I know, but what can I say, George? You know, we're trying, you know.
Well, I've just seen some of the material, and I was just saying you need to get somebody that's... I think you need to go up to the University of Florida, to the School of Journalism, and say, look, we need someone, we've got the anthropologists and all this kind of stuff, but we need somebody to produce a readable, enjoyable program. So to use a little Madison Avenue, a little bit of Hollywood, a little bit of, you know.
I know. Well, I think that what they're, my impression of the Bureau is that in point of fact, they're certainly trying to do that. And
of course they have limited, they just had more money.
Well, it's not just more money. I think that they've got, I think they're doing okay. But you know, it's like this too. When you are in a situation where you have to do the entire state.
Did you talk to Cecil Clements at Gatorama? Oh, since you were over there talking to, I mean to change the subject.
That's right.
Over at Palmdale.
Palmdale. No, he's got, yeah, he's down from the...
right down from Gaskin's place.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh. Czechoslovakian American foods. It's really great. I've seen a lot of products on that area over there. And that's an interesting area because Florida is a microcosm. I really believe, you know, you can, like I said earlier, you got, you really have all kinds of different ethnic groups, you know, so forth. You know, you go over, and I've got a lot of friends in St. Augustine, and my gosh, the food and the, you know, the customs, I really enjoy that. I think that Southwest Florida has been looked over, has been ignored.
We're over that now.
Well, the thing that I believe is that there's a lot of Southwest Florida that needs to be recorded. I think you need to go down to Chuckalusky, talk to the Smallwoods and their descendants, and so often mentioned by Dr. Thibault and his works on the Everglades. And by the way, Charlton Thibault is a friend, and graduated from the University of Chattanooga in 1928, wrote A History of Florida, amongst a lot of other books. You need to go to Ochoppee, which is also in the same area, in Everglades City. There's a lot of new they're developing a whole bunch of new traditions in Everglades City now. It's becoming the drug importation capital of the world.
Yeah, that's why they won't talk to me. Ochoppee, yeah.
But they talk to me.
Well, no, not George.
I'm a good old boy.
Don't pick on me now, because I'm from Chicago and I got a funny accent. I mean, the thing is this. Look at it from my point of view.
I think you need somebody also with a southern accent.
Yeah, well, look at it from my point of view, George. They gave me 50 days to do 9 counties. Let me just tell you what I got to do.
And you know what? They pick somebody that's got good manners. Most Yankees don't have good manners.
Thank you, George. Well, the thing is, they gave me 50 days to do 9 counties. It's like they dropped me in naked with a Bowie knife, you know? And so, you know, well, I mean, if you've heard this before...
At least you got a Bowie knife.
Yeah.
Most of the people I've talked to with Utah Mason don't even say they got a knife.
I know. Well, I found out that carrying a knife... That lent me some status back in the back hills here. And
people have been searching this area for a long time, but unfortunately, when a writer comes through, or a gatherer of historical information, or anthropological,
yeah, or data,
information, they always go to the same sources. They always get the same answers, and they miss areas like Alva in northeastern Lee County. They miss LaBelle, And my gosh, LaBelle is a fantastic town. Where Immokalee.
Yeah, I've been to Immokalee.
They miss places like Moorhaven, which had the first female mayor in the state's history, and twice nearly wiped out by hurricanes. In the sugarcane country, they miss places like I think Okeechobee a lot of times. Lake Placid, Zoffo Springs, which, by the way, this coming weekend, if you're going to be available,
yeah,
we'll have a
tremendous Pioneer Park Days.
Yeah, another one of those outside events. But we'll have in Bowling Green, for instance, out up in Hardy County, there's a man that makes those old citrus ladders, and they've been making them for 60, 70 years of the old crude citrus ladders.
Who's that?
I don't know his name, but he's out toward Ona community in the western portion of the county.
Charles Thomas Abbott.
Did you talk to him?
Yeah. Abbott Ladder Works.
Yeah.
His mother's father, Riley, started the business. Then his father went into it. Then he took it over. He left working at the bank. And now his two boys work with him. Mm-hmm. And his father knows how to make cane syrup. And there's a woman that lives kitty corner to them.
You don't have to go right on. I'll take you 15 places here where they know how to make it, and they still make it.
Well, let's go, George, because I haven't found any cane syrup makers yet. But what
you
I'm
haven't?
No, not a one. I mean, I ate cane syrup. I went out.
Soft cane syrup.
Yeah. I'll always say it right. I misspoke myself. I went out and I talked to Albie Twist.
Okay.
And he had found out. I mean, we're in the course of our conversation. He found out that I'd never eaten a raw sugar cane. Well, I have, it doesn't grow on the sidewalks of Chicago, so I never did. So he took me out in the back. They have a great sandwich. We invented the submarine sandwich, no matter what anybody says.
But hey, the best hot dog in the world is a Vienna hot dog from Chicago. If you want to know what one tastes like, go to Mel's in Tampa. He's in Chicago, home of the best Chicago hot dog anywhere. I mean, with a kraut the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But anyway, digress. Okay, talk to Alvin.
Yeah, and so then he cut me some cane, and we were eating it there. And they had mentioned some people in the area. He had mentioned some people in the area who made cane syrup, but I just haven't been able to find.
Of course, you're coming at the wrong time of the year.
I know.
Fall's done fell, and it's sun's out, and it's hotter than usual.
But
but it does occur here. You'll be able to see it this weekend, I'm sure, up at Pioneer Park.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great experience for you. Get your walking shoes on.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be a lot. In most of these places, another place you really need to go is Monday. You need to go up to Webster, to the state's largest flea markets, every Monday. You need to be there about dawn. Okay. When your state pretend dim, there is, at the intersection of, let me get my state map out here, there is a Holiday Inn that will give you a really good discount. And there is, I think, a Quality Court right across the street from it. At the intersection of 98 and I-75 for you to run over to Webster, which is about 13, 14 miles from there. The reason why you need to go there is there's some cheese makers and sausage makers and some people that display their wares there that have been doing it from, are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
For 30 to 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say Webster's, or Webster.
Well, I'll do it for you on the map.
Just show me what we're doing here.
Turn that off. Okay, in Zoffo Springs, you want to eat at the Acapulco, which is Mexican food since the early 60s. You want to eat at Papa Joe's, which is in the truck stop there at the corner of at the northeast corner of US 17 and State Road 64. These are two very good restaurants in Zoffo Springs. One, of course, is Mexican. The other is Florida. They have such things as swamp cabbage and mullet and catfish on their menu at Papa Joe's. There is a restaurant in Wachula on the left-hand side going into town on the south side called used to be called Sanderfitz, and they recently changed the name, but it has been in business for a long time and serves the local cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
In Arcadia, as I mentioned earlier, both the drugstores serve food here. And let's see, what is the... At Mount Lachey, there's a place called the Snook Inn. I told you, Mount Lachey is located on State Road 78, west of the thriving Yankee town of Cape Coral on the little Gasparilla Island. And the Snook Inn, and that restaurant been there under different ownership through the years, but it's ever since I can remember. And they serve nothing but call off the local base ramp and things like that. It's not air conditioned. And the food, and the beer's cold, and the food's good. The menu is simple. On the north end of Gasparilla, on the north end of Pine Island is the community of Boquilla, B-O-K-E-E-L-I-A. And it looking directly into the Charlotte Harbor. And if you look out to the north, west, you can see the Gulf of Mexico. There's a little old restaurant there. It's in a wooden rundown building. And these people are northerners, but they really cook a mean southern style food. I mean, I'm talking about fish. I mean, it's not a fancy place. You're not going to get lobster. You're going out there and you're going to eat fish.
Yeah.
Now, the mullet, best mullet around, best seafood as far as cracker cooking. I'm talking about southern style. In Fort Myers, in Naples is Kelly's Seafood, which is located right on the river, right on the Barren, I think it is river. I can't remember, right there at Naples. It's located right over the top. It's a right on the top of a fish, a processing plant. They're a little expensive, but they've been there for a long time, and their food is good. These restaurants are important because they really reflect the
foodways.
Well, yeah, and like at Wheeler's here, if you go in and there's one place left at the table, you say, may I sit down here? You just sit down, it's really friendly. Fort Myers, there's a good place called the Snack House, been in business since 1949. All men that are working in there, they're either the original waiters. Now, it's not a fancy place.
Yeah.
It's a fast order place. It's in the Collier Arcade. It's owned by Gwen Ellis. Wynn Ellis. The only women that work in there are the cashiers. They're either the original waiters or the sons of the original waiters. And most of these people are from Tennessee. And the food it's all southern, but they have a lot of traditional local dishes. But the Beach Cutoff Barbecue, which is right off of, I guess it's State Road 867, southwest of Fort Myers, where the road either go to Fort Myers Beach or to Sanibel Island. There's a place called the Beach Cutoff Barbecue, and they have been in business for 30 years. Another good place, if they're fixing to tear down in North Fort Myers, is called right at the foot of the old Edison Bridge. And it's RB's or BR's restaurant. It's initials. It originally used to be BR's, but they've changed it a little bit. JV's, I think it's maybe JB's or JV's Barbecue. It originally, when we first went out there, the dining room area was a screened-in room outside. But the only thing they've done to it since then is closed it in. They had a counter with an open and closed the front. This hot dog place that I told you south of Venice has been in business for 30 years, since the 50s. One of those places with the stools outside. There's a couple of very old restaurants at Gasparilla Island. One is at the old hotel there, and the other is the Pink Elephant. Been in business for a long, long time. Another is a Temptation. And one of the oldest bars around here. It's the Tamiami in Punta Gorda. It's they may have air conditioning now. I don't think they, for a long time it wasn't, but it's a place with salty popcorn, overhead fans, and cold beer. And a lot of the old-time Punta Gordians go in there. It's one of the few places left at one of their haunts where you can find them. Mm-hmm. In the late afternoon, they go in for a cold beer or a drink when they go home. Punta Gorda, there's still quite a bit of commercial fishing. You need to talk to some of those people down there. But here's a place. Here is a storehouse for you. Placida. Placida is in Charlotte County. It's south of Venice on State Road 775. Right where at the intersection of 775 and 771, where you go. Get on the only privately owned causeway in the state, a bridge over to Boca Grande. There it is, it's Placida. Mm-hmm. The Coles and that family have been there in the fishing business for generations. In fact, the town was moved from someplace else when the Charlotte Harbor Northern Railroad was built in 1912 onto the island, which was abandoned about 5 or 6 years ago.
Is that Cole,
C-O-L-E. And they also own the private toll bridge. And I think the key into seeing them is that Mrs. Vasco, V-A-S-C-O, Peoples, P-E-E-P-L-E-S, and her son, Vernon, B-E-R-N-O-N, Peoples, P-E-E-P-L-E-S, who is a state representative, District 75, Charlotte Harbor, a great historian, who has a lot more stuff than I do. Whose father was one of the youngest legislators in the state of Florida one time, from up around Perry. Mm-hmm. They are related, of course, to the Coles. That's his mother's, Mrs. Vasco Peoples, people out there, the Coles are. So that's going to really give you an invitation to the original, perhaps even some of the lighthouse tenders and all that lived over at Boca Grande on Gasparilla Island. He's a really a good source of what's left of Punta Gorda. He can tell you a lot about it.
What's his first name?
Vernon, B-E-R-N-O-N. You tell him I sent you. He has a tremendous amount of material. Our collections have been a lot different. Mine is, I'm more into people and lifestyles and things like. He's more into hardcore history, but he knows everybody that ever was.
And he is in Placida.
There's a lady you want to look up in Tallahassee. She used to live in Fort Myers. She's a Yankee. She's a very good friend of mine. She's written a book, and she's very, very knowledgeable about. Very, very knowledgeable about Lee County, and that's Fort Myers. Her name is Marion Godown, G-O-D-O-W-N. She's written and published stuff in the Florida Historical Quarterly. She's written and published stuff of various sources, and her daughter is a reporter with the Tallahassee Democrat. And Marion's address, she's just recently moved, and let's see. Marion's address, I think I spoke too fast.
Sorry.
Miccosukee Hills Apartments.
Miccosukee.
Hills Apartments, 3201 Miccosukee Road.
3201. Mm-hmm.
Box 10, Tallahassee, 32308. The number in South Georgia, Tallahassee, is 575-5777. Another person that you want to talk to in Fort Myers is Ernest Hall, who is a historian and very involved with the Southwest Florida Historical Society, and who has collected a lot of information. He originally was from LaBelle a long time ago. He was one of my high school teachers, teachers at my high school. And he can really give you a lot of insight and information into the Fort Myers area. Another fellow you want to talk to is Stanley Hansen in Fort Myers. His father was one of the original Tamiami Trailblazers that went across the Everglades in the early 1920s before there was a road to get publicity to help build the Tamiami Trail. I mean, he knew as a child all kinds of Seminole Indians and all. When you talked, remember I gave you Mrs. Gordon McSwain's name earlier, the late Dr. Gordon McSwain's wife? He and his father before him treated most of the Seminole Indians in this area. They came all the way up here to be treated earlier. And he used to take a train from here to Fort Myers, his father did. The late Dr. Gordon McSwain's father used to take a train to Fort Myers two or three times a week to do surgery. He was the only surgeon available at the Fort Myers Hospital, the old Fort Myers Hospital. You want to talk to the Gamble Mansion, which is a state course facility over at Ellington, right outside of Palmetto in Manatee County. Their phone number is 722-1017. And they can give you, they have a lot of information going back to the original
Manatee County.
Yeah, Manatee County.
Okay.
You also want to contact the Manatee Village Historical Park through the Manatee Historical Commission, 604 15th Street East, Bradenton, Florida, 33508. That is the Manatee County Historical Commission, 604 15th Street East, Bradenton, Florida, 33508. Phone number is 813-749-1800, extension 3324. They have a living museum over there in Manatee County. You also want I tell you another person here you want to get to know. You want to talk to the Kellys that own the Arcadia State Livestock Market north of town. That they've had it for several generations, a couple of generations. And there, a fellow who is the manager is Gordon Ford. And he can tell you a lot about the old cow. He knows every cattleman in the county. They have an auction there every Wednesday. And by the way, there's a restaurant run by Mrs. Ford that serves food in the cattle auction because there's so many buyers that come and so forth. And I mean, get there early because they have great, she has great groceries, big old plate lunch. When you take whatever she has on them, the best hamburger in the county. And we're talking about fresh beef hamburger. Cattle has always been king in DeSoto County. It was our first industry. It remains, still remains to be big. Still remains to be pretty important.
Florida produces the second largest producer of beef cattle in the country.
I think it's second east of the Mississippi. Check your facts on that.
All right. I was told it was the second.
Well, if you take into consideration, I think the feeder lot business. But I've heard that and heard that. But I think when you get it down to it, it's going to be east of the Mississippi.
Hmm.
Another place that you want to get in touch with is the South Florida Museum at 201 10th Street West in Bradenton. Phone number is 813-746-4131. They also have a planetarium there, by the way. But they can give you a lot of information on the area. I tell you another bunch of is the Pipers, the Piper family that have owned the Everglades Wonder Garden. It's not a major attraction, but the Everglades Wonder Garden in Fort Myers, I mean in Bonita Springs, south of Fort Myers, and they've been handling wild animals there, and they probably know a lot of old crackers that live out in the Everglades for 50 years. See, if they've been there 50 years, Mr. Les Piper, I think, is still alive. He opened the place 50 years ago. Well, if he came there as a young man 50 years ago, anybody that he ran into that was 50 years or older that was a native lived there 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he can probably, he can remember, I'm sure, the really early days and a lot of the early pioneers of that part of the country. And there's a brand new state park, historical park, site up at Payne's Creek. And Payne's Creek, and that's located up near Bowling Green, Florida, and their phone number is 375-4717. I think that they'll have a lot of information as far as the early habitation there, which dates back to before the,
That's right.
Okay, and I gave you the Manatee County. You will find also that in addition that the Manatee County Tourism Development Council, believe it or not, will be very helpful to you in gathering information.
Sure.
And you can contact Diane, M-A-T-H-E-S, at...
M-A-T-H-E-S.
I think that she was with a PR agency, I think, that put together their program. But their address is Post Office Box 321. Telephone is 813-748-3411.
And they're the Manatee Tourist
Bureau. Tourist Development.
Tourist Development.
And I think, let's see. God, I haven't even gotten to them. I haven't even gotten you over to LaBelle.
Yeah,
Tommy Smith is the mayor over there, and you tell him I sent you. He's also a very good source of information. I tell you somebody else that I wasn't born there, but boy, she knows all about the town.
Mm-hmm.
She's a real estate person. Her name is Sherry Craichy. C-R-A-I-C-H-Y, I think that's the name. But she and I served together on the old Swamp Cabbage Festival Committee, and they're having that one weekend right away years ago. And we know each other. She knows everybody in the county.
Shelly Craichy.
Sherry.
Sherry?
S-H-E-R-R-I, Craichy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know there's oil wells south of there. Oil production fields, oil fields.
Mm-hmm. South of LaBelle.
Yeah, 29. In fact, even south of Immokalee at Sunnyland, there's the first
producing
field in the state.
Mm-hmm.
What an interesting lifestyle that you might find. There's a little pocket, a little settlement on 29 south of Immokalee, just north of Everglades City. You'll see it on the map there on 29 called Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
Copeland
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Copeland was one of the last major logging towns in Florida. And in fact, they were still using Baldwin steam and American steam locomotives building tracks all through the all through that part of the country up there until even into the early 60s. In the early 60s, Lee Tidewater Cypress Company out of Perry took down the, you know, you've heard of the Big Cypress?
Yes.
But there are a lot of the people in there that have been following or living there or retired there that have been following the lumber throughout the state. Right down the road at the community center, the Mizell Family Reunion in Pine Level, the first Sunday of each month following church services at the Pine Level United Methodist Church, which incidentally was established in 1868 at the Pine Level Campground Cemetery, mm-hmm. which is near there across Buzzard Roost Creek. Also in May, the first Sunday in May, which this year will be the third, is the May Day reunion at Fort Ogden at the Fort Ogden Community Center Park. There should be 1,000 people there mostly, and they're mostly old timers. Fort Ogden dates back to the Second Seminole Indian Wars, 1840s. Mm-hmm. And some of these people date back to probably 1860s, 1870s, some of the families. Mm-hmm. They're nice people. So there are three major reunions. I'll go over them again for you.
In this county. Mm-hmm.
There is the Nocatee Men's Reunion, which is the second Friday of each February. Mm-hmm. They start cooking. It's a good time. They'll start cooking at the Nocatee Civic Center in the morning. There's no alcohol involved. It's a very, you know, just, it's a, and all the food they eat is traditional cracker. They'll have a pilu, you know, chicken and rice and things like that. Then they'll have barbecue, maybe wild hog or something like that, swamp cabbage, lima beans, rice, cornbread, iced tea. Good evening. Then the first Sunday of each March, the famous, very large Mizell Family Reunion, which is really a community reunion, is held at the Old Pine Level Community Center following church services. There's a dinner on the grounds, of course, and there's been up to 3,000 people at that, 4,000 sometimes, as many. But it's, you know, it's really interesting. Then the May Day, first Sunday in May, Fort Ogden Family Reunion in the Fort Ogden community on US 17 south, southern Sutter County in the Ziba King Park. And that's bring a covered dish, with, and that's a potluck for you Yankees. And you, they do advise you to ask you to bring something in the dish too. Most of the trailerites here didn't know that. I marked your map here to show you some other interesting areas. You want to talk to Miss Vera Tucker, and she lives at Old Venus, which is off of US 27. I marked an X here on your map.
All right.
Their family dates back in the Venus community, V-E-N-U-S, not Venice, but Venus. This is in southern Highlands County. They date back to the 1870s, and they practice a lot of the old customs.
Mm-hmm. Vera?
Vera, V-E-R-A, Tucker, T-U-C-K-E-R. Mm-hmm. I also marked the Brighton Seminole Indian Reservation. You may have trouble getting them to talk to you, though.
No, they actually, all the Seminole reservations, we have the Bureau.
But the Hollow, oh, the Comet, they were, his sister remembers Haley's Comet real well. My aunt Mamie's outlived two husbands. She still works. She types 80 words a minute. The other day, she was walking down, she's in town now, she's not on the farm. She walked downtown the other day, and one of the city policemen came up beside her and said, "Miss Mamie, if you don't slow down, I'm going to give you a ticket." Well, she didn't learn to drive about 20 years ago when her first husband died. Now, here's a woman that worked for Sprinting Company as an executive secretary, gone to Nashville and married later in life. When she backs out of a driveway, she never looks. And she drives 60 miles an hour. I mean, I've seen my daughter drop her knees. Listen, two pair of overalls. A lot of bad things happened to my dad afterward until he got... My daddy and mother, my grandmother and grandfather were sisters, married brothers, which I'm sure was very common in Greece. George sisters, two sisters married two brothers. And I mean, so he finally was brought into that family, was very close, and brought up the rest of his just like he was theirs. Because he was, and the blood was thicker in that than it is. But for a while, a couple of the other members of the family, they stole his farm. The Colemans did, and they're very prominent. They stole the farm. But my daddy never complains about having down to two overalls and a pair of shoes to his knee. What a story. Almost quit school He was making $50 a week in the 20s driving an oil truck, which was phenomenal. And one day, he said, I was walking down, and he doesn't really in the Divine Providence, okay? But he was walking down the hollow road there up to the house. And these are beautiful old houses sitting back up, you know. And he said, I'd always loved to read. And he said, I loved education. And he really wanted to go. He liked to play football. He loved school. He really liked school. And he made a promise one time. My daddy was a small guy, but he was a well-built fella. And he had a teacher in a one-room school and was beating his brother with a whip. I mean, tooth and, you know, like shades of an old thing.
Yeah.
And let me tell you how the family worked. My daddy, now Jesse Stewart wrote a book about something like this, the thread that runs so true. My daddy whipped the teacher, was bigger than he is, pulled him off his brother, and he said, I'm going to be a teacher someday, and I'll never do this. He can remember that. Before my uncle died, I can remember him telling me that story. And when he got done with it, he went home. He told his Uncle Edward. Uncle Edward came up there and beat the hell out of him. He said, you know, if your education, if you can't talk, you know, he said, whipping somebody, you can do it, but you're not going to bring blood. And it was over nothing. It wasn't anything major. It wasn't putting firecrackers. My daddy can remember putting firecrackers in the potbelly stove. Now that made that all your and at Christmas time, the Christmas customs are phenomenal. In Tennessee, there's always been fireworks at Christmas. If they had a tree, my daddy very said, so they didn't give a lot of presents. It was more reunion. They got it on Christmas Eve. They cut it. They went out and got it. They decorated it. But their Christmas was mostly family get-together. It was not a commercial Christmas. They went to church. They sang. They ate wonderful, you know. It would be the time of year that if they ever did eat a goose. And they kept geese for security, not to eat. Because there's a goose over here next door. Go walk in that yard and see what he does.
Yeah, they're like dogs. I've always heard that.
But they're better than dogs. I mean, have you ever been bitten by a goose? You will rather be bitten by a dog. Let me see. Hoeing and dusting tobacco. One leg is shorter than the other. That's another Tennessee. You know what that means, Tennessee expression?
Why
you
have?
Yeah, because you were born on the side of America.
No.
My daddy remembers that when he was taken into the Ridge Runner Society in college at one time, which is, so they took him off and dropped him into a cemetery. Of course, this was really similar with a pair of shorts on, his pair of shorts. And he was 30 miles from home, and they gave him the date, the guy's name and his date of birth. He had to come back with his the day he died. He ran into Deputy Sheriff and talked about it. He was silver tongued. Deputy Sheriff took him back, got some clothes, took him back. Moonshine, my God, we didn't call that moonshine. If Florida's a sunshine state, then where I came from is a moonshine state. It was not considered. Tennessee was greatly hurt by Prohibition. Tennessee, every town in Tennessee had a still distillery. Distillery was, I mean, Jack Daniels was a minister, was a Lutheran, and learned his whiskey making. Till that time, until the Prohibition, the move, temperance movement and all, it was not, Baptist drink, even. Temperance wasn't that big a thing. But, I mean, they had, my daddy can remember Toddy Holler, and he was just like you think, Toddy, you know, a Toddy.
Yeah.
There were three distilleries, and what they did was they take apple, they made like an apple, and he said he can remember a story, this is a wonderful story. That they had they made the mash, of course, out of the apples. They would squeeze the apples and so forth, and then they would flush the mash into the creek. Well, I said one day, of course, there was no fences then. We said one day this old boy's hogs got into the mash that was in the creek and got drunk. And he said they were just falling all over each other, squealing, carrying. Said they were so drunk that they finally had to carry him home. They couldn't walk. You know, I mean, that's a funny, I mean, he said they don't, there's no fun compared to that. Jake and Jane, Mule Power, Ridge Runner by, let's see, these are just coon hunting, my God, by the campfire, what coon hunting was really about. He was out here telling my daddy about it, and my son about it the other day. Cedar Christmas tree, now he said they had a Christmas tree at the schoolhouse. He said they cut a cedar tree, but he said not really at home, so that wasn't done.
Did they ever do house visiting at all?
All the time.
Did they go like, did they...
just in here. Well, they went to taffy pulls and barn raisings and...
But I mean, for Christmas time, did they, not like Carol, but did they go and do any little Did they carol in front of them? What did they do?
No, they all went to church.
Mm-hmm.
They had a school, always had a school program. They went to church, and then everybody got together in one house. They all came to all and spent the night. They slept on the, you know.
Yeah.
No, they didn't go caroling. That was different.
Different, yeah.
Remember a lot of these people, Camelites.
Camelites? I don't know what that means.
The Church of Christ. They don't have music in the church. They sing only by human voice.
Mm-hmm.
And my people, the rest of them were Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
The church at Stony Point, in the hollow there, was built in 1830. It's still there. My aunt was baptized right below it, 80 years ago. And I mean, they still got the farm right across the street from, right across the road from. Cedar tree for Christmas. Christmas firecrackers. Warm morning stoves at the general store, which is a type of stove. Ice and sawdust. He said the biggest treat that they would have in the summer is that they would go and buy ice. And then they told me how they made ice, too. Of course, they were ice plants. They would buy ice on Saturday, and it would last them. And they'd pack it in sawdust in their spring house, which was cooler. And the ice would last, and they'd have iced tea all week. Said they didn't have tea unless they had iced tea, you know. He said, or they'd make ice cream. So that was a treat, man.
Yeah.
And of course, you didn't, a lot of times, he said, of course, mule days, which I know about, head cheese, which is made out of hogs, it's a meat dish. Head cheese, sardines, which he cooked. he said he came so far. I said, I came from so far back up in the hollow that he said, I thought that possum, that bullhead oysters, and possum sardines were a seafood dinner. He remembers sardines being, oysters being shipped into Federal by rail from Mobile in wooden barrels. Head cheese, sardines, Vieners, we call them, they're not Vienna sausage, they're Vieners. Crackers, dope, which is what he called Coca-Cola. They didn't call them Cokes, they call them, and nobody calls them soda, or there's no pop. No, it's called cold drink. Everything's a cold drink or a Coke. R.C. Cola and a moon pie.
Mm-hmm. R.C. Cola and a moon pie.
Head cheese, trips to town, top of the old icy bank hill, which has always got ice on it in the winter. Land beyond the mountains. That's what they called every, the rest of the world, was the land beyond the mountains. Possum sardines and bullhead oysters, a seafood dinner. Eating out was a nickel's worth of cheese and crackers and a hunk of head cheese and some hot sauce. I can remember. We'd go to sit down nice in the restrooms, but my pleasure, and I do it with my son, is to go to a country store, and we still got a few of them. The reason why there are no country stores left in South Florida, it's not because that they wouldn't be used, it's because there's no retailers. Wholesalers. There's no wholesalers, groceries. All the wholesalers are in the north part of the state. It's the reason why you got. But my daddy and I would stop at a little country store, and you see, you don't know what this is like. Go in and you get some bologna, have them cut some bologna, and some cheese, and they always had the cheese and thing, and they had a big cut. We'd get some cheddar cheese, crackers out of a tin. They have a big tin of crackers. We'd get a cold drink. My daddy always had hot sauce in his car, either pepper sauce, which has a little peppers in it, or we never used Tabasco. We used Louisiana Red, which I still use, which is hotter. And we would stop and find ourselves a tree, and that's what we would eat for lunch. And we didn't call it lunch. What would we call it?
Supper.
Dinner.
And supper's the other one.
Supper's the night. Lunch is when you went and had a sandwich in town or something. That was a formal one. Outdoor, indoor plumbing. Been all over the world. He said, well, I've been all over the world. He said that old boy's been all over the world. Well, he'd been plumb over to Chattanooga one time. Big city, mama. That's a story, another whole story. Nubs lost his finger, lost Cove. Oh my God, that's an interesting story. They just put a road into there. This is across the mountain from us where it really does get. In 1937, those people didn't have a road into there, didn't have electricity. And they still are mad over putting it in. Well, they knew about the outside. Now kids all went to school, but they just liked living the way they did. Bottom land farming, you know what a bottom land farmer is. Copperheads galore, that's another one. My daddy, these are just remember stories. Copperheads galore. I remember when he built, they helped put a power line across the mountain. They killed 39 copperheads in a mile. They're everywhere.
There were snake leggings up there?
No. You'd be a sissy. Go barefoot. The snake's not going to bother you. I mean, even down here, this old, they'll tell you how bad, Ortsman probably told you how bad he makes a leg and how bad snakes are here. Nutcrackers go fishing and watch go barefooted. A rattlesnake is going to do his damnedest to get out of your way because he only kills to eat. And, I mean, he ain't going to strike you unless you step on him. And he ain't going to step on you if he's got any sense. He wants to get away from you. Mm-hmm. He feels you, your vibration. Now, you might step in on a cottonmouth if you're down by the water because they save their mouth open. Hen nesters. My daddy goes up. Here's this guy. God, I knew him real well. Bill Thomas. Worked for my daddy. But dad said, went up to his house one day and said, Bill Tom, what are you doing? What you doing out there, boy? He's out there banging. He was a big old redneck, sort of red-faced guy with overalls. Like he hauled milk for daddy. Hell, George, I'm building myself some hen nesters. Dad said, you mean hen nests, don't you? Hen nests. He said, hell no, George, I got more than one hen. One day, we lived in a little town called Petersburg. Petersburg, I've got a whole story on Petersburg. I need to put that poor Petersburg file. I'll show you some poor Petersburg. I got tons of stuff in here. Berg, file. What profit a man if he gains the whole world is his own soul? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but they're raving wolves. You know, that's... I have this great supply of stuff and I sit here and it's just sort of like a museum because I'm so busy doing for somebody else.
I know, George. I said that to you a while ago. Now why aren't you... Tell me about this.
I want to read something to you and you're part of... You can call it destiny. I'll call it divine providence because something's happening to you. Metamorphosis, whatever you want. Let me read some... I told you about the poem. Little town, square. The town was dated back to the 1790s, Petersburg. Mm-hmm. Around the square when I was a little boy, there was a little square in the middle. There was a theater, a department store, dry cleaners. Now, this is a little bitty town. Mm-hmm. There was two drug stores on top of one of the drug stores on the south side of the square. There was an operator. Telephone operators. We had magneto telephones, although the dial system all around us when I was a kid. That was born in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
Dial system, this area here was dial system there.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a magneto phone in the hall that had two batteries, and I remember the ring, in fact. The town was built around the square. There was Dr. Joplin who delivered, he didn't deliver me, but delivered most of the children in the town. There was we had a fire station with a 1926 La France fire truck, the one they couldn't get started the night our house burned down.
That's not funny, but I...
It was, but my parents weren't there. They thought it was funny, though. That's what there's all... My daddy always looks for the irony of things, but our town also gave us $3,000 in cash and ironing boards and ironing through a shower, and they loved my dad. People cried. My dad had done so much for people in that community with craft by building barns for them and buying refrigerators when their kids were sick and doing things like that. He would deliver them and never tell them about it. He paid for it when we didn't have money. My daddy would buy things on time for people. But we always had plenty to eat and plenty of love, and he always could find somebody who was less fortunate than us. And
well, that's why I'm saying, George. Now, when you talk about divine providence here, and changes in your life,
he should have been a preacher because his heart.
Well, now look at this, George. As a way
one
of
day,
thinking,
my daddy went into the store.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these stores, the National Town Bank, all kinds of stuff around Petersburg. Petersburg died. It's dead. Trees are growing out of the buildings now. Since I was a kid, it's dead. Mm-hmm. The cheese plant is gone. The other factory's gone. I cannot tell you what has happened. Check. Okay. But my daddy went in the grocery store there on the square. I want to check that Petersburg file. And the two car agents. Went into the store, and somebody said, George, your son is preaching out on the square. So Daddy went out. I'm standing in this car, and I've got my head stuck out, Daddy said, and I am screaming at the bottom of my voice, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And Daddy said he could just stand there and laugh. He thought it was so funny. And he said, then there was a night they were sitting in the fire siren. We had a siren in our town, had a siren, and it went off. And God, Dad, we were all about, fire was a big deal in our town, so everybody went to see the fire. And it was a three-story old wooden hotel right off the square there. And those idiots, now there was a, the bathrooms had been added later on the back, and they were all stacked on top of each other. They were on fire. Well, here are these idiots, and it's colder than 3 feet up a well digger's butt. And those people are throwing stuff out in front of that. I'm sitting in the car, I'm a little boy, and I see one of those old, what they call the stuff that before plastic, what was it?
Polyethylene?
No.